You can't lie either, I thought, except by omission. I don't want to be out of line here, Lowell said, but one of you is enough. We shouldn't risk 40% of our crew on this thing.
Then it should be me, Bruce said.
No way.
He turned to face Edison and Cronkite.
I'm second generation. Jacob is first and at more risk. I'm first, all right, as in first in command. I vote that I go and nobody else has a vote. I could urge you not to go, Edison said mildly. A coordinator's urging had some force. And we'd wind up wasting time with a review board. This may be urgent, and Bruce, sorry, but you don't know nearly as much about the machine as I do. Neither does anybody else aboard. It could be a trap, Edison said. Nonsense, Ed. If the machine had the ability and somehow the desire to kill us, it would have done it then.
Cronkite nodded.
It wouldn't want to risk being turned off and never turned on again. That would be my greatest fear in its position. It's you humans who have the power of life or death, not the machine.
A machine being anthropomorphic about another machine. We really ought to introduce them.
So how are we going to handle the vote tonight? Rebecca asked. Everybody knows it's going to pass.
The number of cancellations had risen only to 8%, so really the referendum was just a formality. Well, we don't have to tell them about the deaths on Earth. We just say there are continuing deep anomalies, and the machine stays shut down to outsiders until we can fix it. Sorry for the inconvenience, we'll reschedule you.
We can even be specific about our meeting ourselves, Bruce said. That's weirder and more obviously dangerous than the olfactory substrate going missing.
I had planned to keep it secret, but Bruce was right.
We can ask if anybody else has ever encountered themselves in the past. If they feel involved in the process, they'll be less resentful at the delay.
There was a murmur of assent.
So when do you want to do Wild Year? Lowell said.
I did some mental arithmetic. The results come in by 21:30 or so. I'll go down and wait in the studio and make a statement then. Then a good night's sleep so we can schedule prep for 10 in the morning.
You don't have to rush it, Rebecca said.
Yes, he does, Bruce said.
He can't wait.
I laughed.
He's right, but I've got the public relations bullshit first, and I want to talk to Kate about it before I go.
She'll be thrilled, he said. Not the word I would have chosen. We went to dinner early because of the referendum. It had been some computer-generated mystery meat loaf, and it sat in my stomach like a stone. I was not accustomed to lying to Kate, even by omission. We walked back the long way through the ag level. Orange and lemon and lime trees were in bloom, and it smelled like the orchards around Chimborazo.
You're probably in more danger than anyone else could be. The machine knows you inside and out. If it decided to hurt someone, it would be you.
Well, if you want to give the thing human emotions, if it wanted to tell somebody something, it would be me. Or Bruce, or Rebecca, or Lowell. It did say we have to talk.
I don't see why you have to rush into it. She brushed a bee away from her face. You could at least wait until you hear from Earth. It's only a week.
I didn't tell her we had heard from Earth. If she knew that hundreds had died in VR there, she would be even more adamant. If she finds out I did know and went ahead with it, she'll be furious. Burn that bridge when I come to it.
You know, you're not the most introspective man in the world. Have you thought at all about why you're going ahead with it when any sensible person would wait?
A valid point. Okay. All of us aboard are risk-takers, some more than others. I guess at some level I'm weighing the risk against the possibility that when we hear from Earth, what we'll hear is an order to shut the thing down, and then I'd never know.
That's fine logic. If A is fatal, then B will foretell it, so I'll do A before B stops me.
I suppose you can call that risk-taking. You're being too dramatic. There was a bench under a flowering mango. I sat down and patted the place next to me.
She sat down stiffly, her hands bunched between her knees.
What you're supposed to say is, darling, if it means that much to you, I'll... Come on. No, don't do that. Don't express my concern for your welfare. I tried to choose my words carefully. It's a multivariant problem, when or whether to go into the machine and try to communicate. And I really think nobody is better qualified than me to assess all the variables and make a decision. There's a lot more to it than Earth's second-hand assessment of the autopsy data. Part of it is not quantifiable. It's the force and urgency of the request. I checked my wrist. We're 30 hours from spin down when everything may go haywire. I should be in and out with plenty of time to batten down the hatches. She stared at me. You could argue that that's a good reason to put it off. You're in charge of the whole time machine enterprise, and you're making yourself unavailable until, what, 6 hours before spin down? 8 at most, and I can cut the session short at any time. Not if the machine decides to hold on to the black box. That wasn't physically real, it was just part of the illusion. Convincing, I'll admit, but if I'd pushed where the button was supposed to be, it would have ended the session. You know that, even though it's never happened before. Everything in there is an illusion. In observer mode, you're aware of it. I wonder what illusion Alex saw just before she died. She got up. Maybe she met herself. She looked at me angrily. Is that something you've been trying not to think about? I've considered the possibility, but sometimes I just don't understand you. You treat the thing like a thrill ride. She turned up the path. Think about it some more. I'll see you later. I did think about it, sitting there in the perfume, insect hum louder than the ever-present support machinery. Fair enough to say I treat the time machine as a thrill ride, knowing that it's all illusion, given the choice between going to a high school prom in 1968 or a helicopter assault in the jungle. I'd rather test myself against the artificial danger. Having done it thousands of times has no doubt changed my personality. We are all risk-takers, as I said, to sign up for this problematic enterprise in the first place, and maybe I'm the worst of all. The prospect of facing actual danger was exciting. The possibility of death held no actual terror for me, or at least so I told myself. We didn't dwell on it, but the probability of all of us dying by whatever catastrophic mechanism was probably at least as great as the probability of establishing a viable colony on Beta Hydrae. Besides, I'd lived more than twice as long as anyone in the old days, a full and rewarding life, and the gulf of nothingness on the other side of death was no more fearsome than the 14 billion invisible years that preceded my birth. Kate was right, though. Introspection was not my strong suit. I did have a tendency to follow my feelings and then pick up the pieces afterward. I hoped that wasn't happening here. I went up to the apartment before going to the studio, and Kate wasn't there. No note. 2 letters from Earth. 1 was from JB, the telepresence expert, 12 pages long. I tabled it. The other was from my mother. Just a few lines. A friend of hers had died of a heart attack. She was frightened. 14. Calls. I didn't say anything about the letter to anyone. In fact, I went to the theater and avoided contact with anyone for long enough to see the first half of Matsura's holo-satire of Neo-Kenja romance, Heart of Water, which was about as bad as I expected. It wasn't difficult to leave and go next door to the studio. 2 chairs behind a table with a water pitcher and 2 glasses. The tally projected on the wall behind. When I walked in, it was 6:20 to 60, and changed to 6:21 as I looked. I can hardly contain my excitement, Sky Golding said from a corner. His voice was muffled, his head inside an editing box. He stood up and touched my hand. I've given us 10 minutes at the hour. We're flexible, though, if you need more. I think 90 seconds would do it, unless some screwball calls in. We can always hope. I sat down and took the phone off my belt and touched 2. Bruce appeared immediately. What's up, Jake? We lose the referendum?
Well, it's a cliffhanger. Look, I talked to Kate, and she brought up the worry that we were cutting it too close on this wild year thing. I mean, with respect to the spin-down schedule.
So you want to postpone it?
Actually, I... Just kidding, you want to move it up. If you're not too tired to monitor.
No. Might take a pill.
His face on the screen was too small to read. I thought she'd try to talk you out of it. Well, she wasn't happy. I checked my wrist unnecessarily.
Meet you down there at 21:30?
Sure.
Break a leg.
I put the phone back.
Break a leg? Skye said.
It's an old actor's superstition. Funny that he, of all people aboard, wouldn't know it. They thought it was bad luck to wish a fellow actor good luck.
I see. Well, break an arm. We're on in 90 seconds.
The count behind us was 643 to 70. Interesting. A lot of people voting at the last minute. Even though if everyone not accounted for voted nay, it wouldn't affect the outcome. He poured two glasses of water.
10 seconds.
There were five soft chimes. Good evening. I'm here again with Jacob Brewer, the time machine guru, to witness the least suspenseful vote in the history of Aspera. He looked over his shoulder and made a quick calculation. With 84 abstaining or not bothering, we have 644 for and 72 against. So that's 85% in favor of continuing the use of the time machine. Are you surprised at that level of support, Jacob?
Not at all. We've been running our own informal polls. In fact, the 9% against is exactly what we predicted. We're still holding off on general use until we hear from Earth on Monday with their observations about the death of Alex Kaplan. There wouldn't be anything happening on Saturday, mech spin-down, in any case.
That brings up a point. How many of the abstentions were from ours? The numbers behind us faded and were replaced with the message 59 equals 70.24%.
Too busy spinning down to vote.
Can't blame them, I said.
The phone buzzed. Caller?
A woman's face appeared, identified as Famari Seng from MEC.
A question for you, Mr. Brewer. I've heard a rumor that there's a new problem, something that happened to you yourself in the machine.
Oh, there's nothing secret about it. Bruce Carroll and I experienced it simultaneously. We met twins of ourselves in 1943, and they both said, "We have to talk." Nothing like that has ever happened to him or me before. If you look at tomorrow morning's news, you'll see Bruce asking whether anyone out there has ever had a similar experience.
You don't consider it ominous?
Well, it certainly has to be explained, so I'm going in to see what it means. Its use of the pronoun we is interesting. The time machine is an unimaginably complex program with a huge human database, but it's not programmed to mimic self-awareness.
So it came up with that on its own?
It's, in a manner of speaking, yes, but it's programmed to manufacture surprises. If it didn't, people would tire of having the same experiences over and over. But it is just programming. It's a mistake to anthropomorphize the process. The woman smiled.
That's what you guys always say. But as they said in Old 20th, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck...
It's a good imitation of a duck, I said. In terms of raw data, the program knows more about human nature than a room full of behavioral scientists. Even though it's not programmed for self-awareness, it generates dozens or hundreds of convincing human personalities every time it's used, and most of its new data comes from feedback from the clients themselves. Bruce and I have to be its two major sources of that kind of data, so it's not surprising that it would use us rather than some random person. Skye laughed. Now who's anthropomorphizing?
Yeah, it's a kind of shorthand. Existential shorthand, if you want. Comes from working with the thing day in and day out.
The next caller from Mentos was visibly angry, which is rare enough in our hand-picked cadre.
You should have shut the blasted thing down right after that woman died. People could use the time in constructive ways, rather than play-acting, improve themselves, help others.
I take it you don't use the machine yourself, Skye said.